Hello, everybody. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our study here tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the salvation that we have in him. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being able to come together to study your word. And as we do so, Heavenly Father, we pray for listening ears and believing hearts. And we pray when all is said and done, it'll be to the glory and to the honor of your name and to our edification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to... deal with, I'm pretty sure I'm missing a study or two with you here tonight. But just to kind of keep pace, we've dealt with verses 3 and 4. We've been dealing with verses 3 and 4. And things that I've dealt with is sufficient for us to go ahead and move on. I mean, we're still in verse 4, but there were a number of topics in verses 3 and 4 we've talked about, and sufficiently enough for I don't think you'll be missing anything with me moving on with the topic of the resurrection of Christ in verse 4, and in the issue in verse 4, how that Christ is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And so we're going to be looking at that particular topic, subject area, let me say it that way. And I'll introduce the specific topic. Welcome, JG437. I'll introduce the particular topic or the particular facet of the resurrection of Jesus Christ here in a moment. So for starters, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, because the subject area that we have been talking about in the last couple of weeks is who is Jesus Christ. That's sort of been the topic of what we have been discussing prior. And so I want to start with that here as we progress to the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So beginning at verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And that question can be put to us. And as the disciples here stated, I am certain there would be many different statements that we would come up if we took a sample of opinions, contemporary to our day and time. There would be different answers given to that question: whom do men say? If we took a survey There will be different answers as it was here. Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But then Christ made it more poignant. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And likewise, that is a question that is to be taken out of what other people are saying, and more poignantly, what you or I as individuals would say about who Jesus is. Who do we say Jesus Christ is? Making it more personal. And that's where and that's where the question needs to come. It needs to, because a lot of time you talk to people about different matters, and they can tell you what everybody else is saying, what everybody else believes. And oftentimes in discussions, doctrinal, with other, you know, people who profess to believe the Bible, or just talking to people in general, and they're saying so and so believe this and so and so believes that, and you have to stop them and say, but what do you believe? Because that's where it matters. It matters not what other people believe. It matters what you believe. And on the question of who Jesus is, it matters what you believe. About who Jesus is. Well, that's, go back to Romans. Romans chapter 1. This is what is being presented here in Romans 1, 3 and 4. It's addressing the question of who Jesus is. And it's providing the answer that you should embrace. In other words, what are you going to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what's important here is understanding. Who do I understand Christ to be? And what would be the source of that understanding? I'm pretty sure we've talked about the fact that God has a book. And that book is the Bible. We've talked about the fact that that book is the testimony of God concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and beginning at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. Now, but what is the source of that belief? Well, it would be the Word of God, is my point, and we'll see that in a moment. But it would be the Word of God. It would be the testimony of God. That's what the Bible is. And the Bible stands in contrast to human wisdom or human viewpoint. Having a biblical view of things versus having the world's view of things. Those fundamentally are the only two basic views in the world. The views of man and the views of God. There's the spirit of truth and there's the spirit of error. The Bible represents the testimony of God. And whatever anyone wants to believe about the Bible, you know, what you think about the Bible, one thing needs to be understood is what the Bible claims to be. It claims to be the Word of God. It claims to be the testimony of God. It claims to be the revelation of God. Now, people can say all they will that man wrote the Bible. Okay, they can say that. Irrelevant. Because what you're dealing with is what is written. And when you read it, it claims. Now, and so my point is, what a person thinks about the Bible is irrelevant. But the Bible represents itself as being the view of God. It represents itself as being the opinion of God about matters in this world. And we would call that a biblical viewpoint of the world, a biblical world view. Okay? Now, just bear with me a second here. I'm looking for a note to myself. And I thought I had it here. But in any case, because I'm not seeing what I was looking for. All right, I don't see it. I thought I had it. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the idea of the worldview. I just wanted to make a little bit more plainer view or plainer statement. And I know it's here. I'm probably just looking over it, looking past it. Just probably being in a hurry here. Not seeing it. So, nonetheless, I'm going to let suffice basically the idea of a biblical view of things, and that is looking at the world from the biblical view, the biblical point of view. Maybe the best way to contrast what I'm getting at here is this. If you go to Romans chapter, now, in, by the way, in 1 John chapter 5, let me finish the thought here first before I go further. In 1 John chapter 5, what I was getting at in 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now that's very similar to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. That's very similar to John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, what I'm getting at simply is this, that the Bible declares and presents itself as being the testimony of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it provides a view. It provides an understanding of who Jesus is. And it offers up its viewpoint as the view that anyone should embrace in answering the question about who is Jesus Christ, and that they should embrace the Bible's testimony. And the Bible's testimony is the testimony of God. Now, when I say that, it brings up another, I mean, well, let me just say this one. It's that speaks to the nature and the character of the Bible, the nature and the character of the book in your hand that, well, the nature and the character of the Bible, let me say it that way. And it refers to itself as being the book of the Lord, the Word of God, the law of God, the precepts of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God, the commandments of God. But now, if you take a look at Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Now, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But I'm explaining the issue, this statement in Romans 1, 3, and 4 there a little bit. And let me just go ahead and assert this point here, is that when the question is asked, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? my point, to get back to where I were, is that the Bible offers you its opinion, and it's more than an opinion, but I mean, you know, in the realm of things, it's an opinion of God versus the opinion of the world or the opinion of men. And so the Bible says that when you're considering, and it is a question that every man has to consider, who do you say Jesus Christ is? Who is Jesus Christ? And it's not what others say about him, but what do you know about him? Who do you say that he is? And you only have really two sources of information in its most basic sense. And that, again, is the opinion of men, and then you have the opinion of the Bible. Okay. The Bible declares him to be the Son of God. And what Romans 1:4 says, he's declared to be the Son of God with, you know, according to the Spirit of, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. Let me get back to my passage here. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And here's the question that we are exploring. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove that he is the Son of God? How is that? So now get back to my Bible, the Bible being the testimony of God, being the opinion of God, being the view of God in answering that question. A biblical viewpoint, again, versus a biblical worldview versus just a humanistic worldview or man's world's view. Man's view of the world. Yeah, I guess I can say it that way. So what the Bible says, I mean, in answer to that question, the Bible says Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now here's the question that we're going to be exploring. Christ's resurrection from the dead in fulfillment of prophecy. Christ's resurrection from the dead according to the scriptures proves that he is the Son of God. I was making a statement earlier. Take God out of the picture for the moment. And then consider everything that is you know about the world. I mean, just consider the world and the kinds of questions you would ask and look for answers to. That apart from God and apart from the testimony of God, apart from the revelation of God, apart from the Word of God, do you have absolutes? Do you have authoritative words, or do you have an authoritative view? And let's just talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about real world. Christ is a personage of history. Okay, he's not an imaginary figure. He's a real historical figure. And my point is how do you explain him apart from the Bible? How do you explain the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that's and I'm putting it in that, framing it in that way to make the point that you don't have an absolute authoritative record concerning this historical figure. Concerning his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, his burial and his resurrection, his ascension back up into heaven. Okay? You don't have an absolute authoritative record about any of that without the Bible. And it is in fact something you have to address. I mean, his existence, his presence in this world has to be explained. He has to be identified, because you most certainly, I mean, men have their say about it, but apart from the Bible, you don't have an authoritative record. You don't have an authoritative explanation about who he is. And that's what the Bible is. It becomes that testimony. It becomes the testimony of God. It is the testimony of God. And what that Bible declares is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And his resurrection is the proof or the evidence of the claim, of the declaration. And that's how the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he is the Son of God, is because, what did I tell you, Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." This was an angel. "And he said unto me, See thou, do it not." That is, John fell at the feet of the angel. He says, "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. Now watch what he says. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And so, when you think about the Bible, its nature and its character, it's prophetic. Now, John chapter 5 and verse 39 will be an important verse on this point. Because Jesus says to the religious leaders of his day, "Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." The Bible is the testimony of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And And it is the spirit of the test. The Bible is the testimony. It is the spirit of prophecy, is my point. When you talk about the nature and the character of the Bible, it is the spirit of prophecy. It is the testimony. It is the revelation of God. And when you talk about prophecy, prophecy is presented as prediction, but there are two ideas inherent in the idea of prophecy. To tell forth, to make something public. And the predictive one is to foretell, to predict the future, to tell things, to reveal things before they come to pass. What I would have you to look at, for example, or to consider, for example, there are three phrases that you can run a scripture search on. One, it shall come to pass, meaning something that was predicted, foretold. But had not yet happened, a future event, but it was told before it was a reality. Another phrase, for the Lord has spoken it. Welcome to the room, my dear. Another phrase is, the Lord has spoken it. And another phrase is, then shall ye know. Okay. And so, in essence, what I'm trying to say, without the scriptures, you don't have an authoritative interpreter of things. The Bible is that authoritative source. It's the Word of God. And in prophecy is how God distinguishes himself, identifies himself in essence. For example, Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, you take that idea, and again, and you take the statement that the scriptures are a testimony to who Jesus is. Okay? And if you want to have an authoritative view about the identity of Jesus, the Bible is your only source. And how the Bible, or rather how the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he is the Son of God, is that he was resurrected, or rather, let me say it this way again, Christ's resurrection from the dead is in fulfillment of the written Word of God. And that proves that he is the Son of God. Now, again, I have a take a look at 2 Peter. Welcome, warriors of God. I have you take a look at 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 through 21, watch this. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, Peter says, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But what's is so more important than being an eyewitness. Notice verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Welcome, Terry. For the prophecy, now watch this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when you're talking about the Bible, and you're talking about, and you're looking for an authoritative interpretation or an authoritative declaration about who Jesus is, the Bible is the only authoritative, absolute and authoritative source on the identity of Jesus Christ. Without the Bible, you still have to answer the question about who Jesus is, because he is a historical figure. He is a historical personage. He's a person of history. His birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his departure from this world, all of this is factual. Okay. And the world will give you its opinion about those things. And then there's the Bible's view. And so, when you ask the question, or for yourself, who is Jesus Christ? And you're looking for the answer to that question. Again, the only absolute authoritative source is the Bible. If you dismiss the Bible, if you dismiss God altogether, you have no way of knowing anything with any certainty. You want to talk about having a worldview. You want to have a worldview, a biblical worldview. Because no other view is adequate. Now, what I want are you guys still with me? Okay, now I saw some alerts here popping up in Pal Talk here. I know sometime when that happens, it causes a problem sometime with our connection. Now, I'm gonna be a little better organized with this study next week, but I'm gonna stop it here. But I trust you know where you see what I'm trying to do with this study. To say that the resurrection of Christ from the dead in fulfillment of prophecy, according to the scripture, proved that he is the Son of God. Basically, what I'm saying is that you have these prophecies. You go back to Genesis 3:15. You have the first proto-evangelium, they call it, regarding. And then as you progress through scriptures, you see that idea expanded and enlarged from Genesis to Revelation. So when Revelation 19:10 speaks about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, that when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you consider all these prophecies, all these things that are written, they concern him. That when you look at the historical events, the Bible is saying that these things are happening in fulfillment of prophecy. Now, let me, before I stop, let me again take you back through a point that I started and I didn't complete that. And we looked at Isaiah 42:9, but I want you to take a look at Isaiah 41 and verse 4. In Isaiah 41 verse 4, who hath wrought and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. There's a verse over there in Acts chapter 15 where James says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. In other words, what the Bible is the revelation of one who knows the end from the beginning and tell you those things as it is in accordance with his purposes. He tells you these things ahead of time. And being that the Bible is the testimony of God concerning his Son, there are things that he says about his sons ahead of time, before they even become an issue in the world. Before the world is, the world is not even thinking about these things. God has already spoken about these things, foretold these things ahead of time. There's a statement, for example, in let's see here. I had some additional references that I wanted you to consider. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Now I'm using these verses again to talk about the nature and the character of the Bible. And being that the Bible is the testimony of God concerning His Son, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That the idea is that God has predicted these things, foretold these things. And by come to pass, when these things are fulfilled, you have the testimony of the scriptures to validate them, to authenticate them. And what the Bible validates and authenticates is the identity of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, again, which is in accordance with prophecy, in fulfillment of the prophetic word, is the proof, is the evidence that Jesus Christ. But again, remember the question, how does the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove that He is the Son of God? It proves it in that it is in fulfillment of prophecy. It is, Christ died for our sins, was buried. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, again, we'll talk more, and I'll have this study a little bit better organized, and some of the things I wanted to get into, we'll touch on next week. But I hope it makes sense. I hope the ideas are coming through, and I trust you'll let me know if it's not. So, if you have any questions, I'm going to release the mic and allow you to do that. I want to thank Brother Greg for posting for me. And thank you all for sitting in and listening. So if you have any questions or comments, hi, my dear. Love you too. So if you have any questions, I'm going to release the mic and give you the opportunity. So thanks again for listening. All right, if there's no further questions or comments, we'll call it a night. And Isaiah 53, right. And we're going to be looking at some additional things here. But the main idea is that Christ's resurrection from the dead in fulfillment of the written word is how the resurrection proves that He is the Son of God. You see, without the Bible and without God foretelling these things ahead of time, prophesying these things ahead of time, you would have no way of interpreting or having any understanding about any of this thing. And this is why the Bible is the only proper or right view of what's going on in the world. Because without it, you cannot have the full assurance of understanding. Okay? Alrighty, we're going to call it a night. Until next week, God's best to you all. Be closing down the room at this time. Love you all, too. Good night.